is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week we continue the series, And Men Love the Darkness. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Jim Reeves with I'd Rather Have Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin. Dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Yes, I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than
I was recently reading in Canada, they have a human rights tribunal. And if you say anything negative or bad, even if it's true about Jews, or for that matter about any religion, Hindus, Muslims, you can be called up before the human rights tribunal. And one of the directors of the tribunal was a little bit upset because people were coming, were being called, subpoenaed before the tribunal, and they were being demanded to explain why they had been exposing Zionists and what Israel was doing to the Palestinians and so forth. And the men who were being called up before the tribunal said, well, I have evidence here of that what I say is true. Well, the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal got furiously angry. How dare you bring truth before us? We don't want to hear the truth. We just want to know, did you say these things? Well, yeah, but they're true. Well, we don't want you to say them, whether they're true or not. Did you know that the Human Rights Tribunal has now asked one of the top officials, has asked the Parliament of the Nation of Canada to outlaw truth? If, for example, you believe maybe the Holocaust didn't happen the way that the Jews say it happened, and let's say you present forensic evidence that gas chambers didn't kill so many or whatever, and you have the audacity to come before the Human Rights Tribunal of Canada, and by the way, they're doing the same thing in the court system in today's so-called Democratic Republic of Germany, and you try to present your evidence, and it's true, they say truth is not a defense. And this is what they're going to do with these hate crime laws that they're passing in America or trying to get passed. They're going to make it so that even if you tell the truth, it's not a defense. If you say something bad about someone else's religion, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the witches, the Jews, it doesn't matter if it's true. They just don't want you to say it. You see, they hate, they despise, they loathe the light. Don't bring us the light. Accept our lie. Profess the lie. No wonder Solzhenitsyn, author of the Gulag Archipelago, who exposed the Gulag concentration camps and all of their monstrosities in Soviet Russia. Solzhenitsyn said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. That's how powerful truth is. What an antiseptic is the light of truth. Verse 20 there in John 3 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You get that? Everyone that's evil, that does evil, hates light. And they don't come to the light. They avoid the light. They stay in the darkness like cockroaches, because their deeds will be reproved. In other words, their deeds will, reproved means more than just criticized, exposed, unmasked for what they are, evil deeds. That's why the Human Rights Tribunal says, don't bring us truth. We want to know if you're going to profess and believe in our lies. And we'll convict you for telling the truth. Verse 21, though, says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. In other words, that they're of God. When you do something that's truthful, it has to be of God, because God is the author of truth. I think that's pretty important. Let me tell you something, my friends. The wrath of God is fallen on every man that refuses to come to the light. The wrath of God is fallen on every man that refuses to come to the light. It's reading Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says that if a man knows the light, has the light, does works related to the light, meaning the light of truth, did you know that those things will shine forth? Listen to what it says here. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. But instead he setteth it on a candlestick, that they who enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hidden that shall not be known and come abroad. Friends, everything the Illuminati is doing in the darkness someday will come to light. It will be manifested, and you and I will see that darkness. They say we will do these secret things and no man sees us, but God sees them. He's watching. And sometimes God, in his good pleasure, lets you and me open up the veil of darkness just a bit and peer inside, and we can see what's going on. I love in the Bible where Ezekiel didn't know what was going on behind the wall in the temple. Temple seemed like a holy place, a wonderful place. All these elders of Zion, oh, they were so holy and righteous and, oh, just like so many pastors and televangelists today. And they quote the Bible and they say this, and they tell you if you give $1,000 to their ministry, God will pay you back 100-fold, and on and on. And they look so holy, but they're putrid and they're dirty inside. They're just like whited sepulchers, whited corpses. They're like mummies. Take a dead man from ancient Egypt, take off the white tape that they roll the mummies with, and what do you find? Putrid, decayed, moth-eaten bodies. Because all of our bodies are going to go back to dust someday, and only the spirit is going to go into another realm, either to be with God in heaven or down to be with the devil in hell. You're going to, if you love the darkness so much, my friends, you're going to have a whole eternity of it. Now, some say, well, that's not a bad idea. That's what they say now. You know, Milton wrote his famous book, Dante, it says, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. I've heard rock and roll groups say that. It's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Well, first of all, dear friends, that shows you they don't want to serve God anywhere, on earth or in heaven. They don't want to serve, they don't want to obey God. They want to do their own thing. They want to do as they will. But what a fallacy to think you're going to reign in hell. So you die and you go to hell. You think the devil's going to say, come, my son, sit on the throne I prepared for you? Are you kidding me? You better read the story of Lazarus and the rich man that Jesus gave. You know, the rich man died. He had a life of ease. He had a life with luxury and everything he wanted right here on this earth. But when he died, he was in hell. And it was a bad place. And it was a burning place. And he was suffering miserably. And he had great pain. And he begged, please, if I could only have a little bit of water, my tongue is so parched from this fiery place. And please go tell my living relatives don't live the way I did, or they'll end up here too, this hellish place. Wouldn't any picnic down there, my friends? There's no mansions in hell. There's no fun times anymore. There's no pleasures. There's no alcohol in hell either. There's no sex in hell either. There is burning and torment. Now, some people say, well, I don't think a loving God would ever send man to such a place where he would be tormented forever and ever. I don't care what you think. It's what it says in the Bible. I know a lot of people say, well, Tex, you have to understand the word forever and ever really doesn't mean forever and ever. Oh, shut up. What it says is what it says. You'll be tormented forever and ever in a burning hell.
Well, I just can't believe that.
I don't care. You have, please listen to me very carefully for just a quick moment. I only care what God says. What you say, what I say, means absolutely zilch, nada, nothing. Zero. Because I believe him. You're not going to reign in hell. You're going to suffer in hell. You don't want to serve in heaven? Then suffer in hell. Why do the Illuminati do the evil things they do? You know, I believe it's because they're rebels. They're in rebellion against God. They don't want to serve God. The Apostle Paul said that rebellion against God is the same as the evil of witchcraft. If you're in rebellion against God, you're nothing but a witch. You can say, oh, no, I don't believe in spells or potions, and I don't do all those things that witches do and cook up, you know, brews, you know, legs of toads and noses of some grasshoppers and put them in a big pot and boil them and say a magic incantation. No, you may not do that. But in your simple little rebellion against God, that's the same as witchcraft, the Apostle Paul said. God doesn't find any difference with it. You know, there's a man named Saul Alinsky. He's dead now. He's in hell. But he came from the city of Chicago in Illinois. And he wrote a book that was used by Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama and Bill Ayers and all, I mean, thousands of occult liberals have used that book, Rules for Radicals. Hey, that's what Barack Obama says he used as a community organizer. He used Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. Hillary Clinton says it's one of the books that greatly impacted her life. One of the top three or four books that she ever read that had such an effect on her mind. I find that interesting because Saul Alinsky, in his book, Rules for Radicals, has a dedication page. Would you like to know, dear friends, who Saul Alinsky, this Jewish Chicago radical, in his book, Rules for Radicals, a book embraced by Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton, would you like to know who he dedicated his book to? Well, I'll just tell you, Lucifer. It's right there in the book. He dedicates the book to Lucifer. Why? Because he says Lucifer was the first great rebel. Alinsky is teaching people in his book how to be in rebellion against authority. And he dedicates his book to the first great rebel, Lucifer. Wow. I guess he would agree then with Dante, the play written by Milton, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. But of course today, he's serving in hell. He's serving the devil big time in a burning, fiery, hideous place. Well, what really was Alinsky all about? What is Obama and Clinton all about? What was Bill Clinton about when he flouted convention and tradition and had sex, even using a cigar with a young woman, an intern in his office, and then claim he didn't see how that had anything to do with the character needed to be president of the United States. That's what all of his defenders said. They're all a bunch of rebels, radicals. And I believe they would agree with Aleister Crowley, the British Satanist, who said, "Do as thou will shall be the whole of the law." In fact, that's the number one commandment. That's the whole commandment. You know, Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, they say our greatest commandment is to do as you want. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what Aleister Crowley, the late infamous British Satanist, who pridefully called himself the B666, stated. That's the one cardinal commandment that satanic rebels agree to. Anton Zander LaVey, the Jewish, yes, another Jewish radical, who founded the Church of Satan in 66, and who wrote the best-selling, it's still one of the best-selling books in the world, the Satanic Bible. He has the Ten Commandments for Satanists in his book. But he said the greatest is simply, do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. LaVey agrees with that statement by Crowley then. You know, some years ago, a man named Robert Anton Wilson, I believe he's passed away now, but he wrote a number of novels and even nonfiction books on occultism. And he was not a Christian, unfortunately. But he wrote a little book that I found quite fascinating and interesting. It was entitled Masks of the Illuminati. Masks, M-A-S-K-S, of the Illuminati. Had a lot of interesting information, even though it was a novel. It was a fiction novel. But he had done some of the research, obviously, and he knew what they really believed. In one key passage, he gives sort of the main doctrine, the real doctrine of the satanic rebels. In the novel, a man named Jones is speaking to another character named Sir John, the main character. And Sir John's mind is sent reeling by what he reads that's given to him by this man. And by the way, supposedly, this is a summary of a group called the Ordo Templi Orientis, the Order of Oriental Templars, which is, you know, a satanic secret society. And they had rules, they have commandments, a way of behaving. And supposedly in this novel, Mask of the Illuminati, to become a member of this secret society or occult society known as the Ordo Templi Orientis, you must sign three copies of a very peculiar document.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Vital Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.